All right, so we're going to continue our series on Let's Get Spiritual. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit works in our lives in various ways. Today we're going to be looking at a passage from the Epistle to the Ephesians. Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus. And in chapter 4, verse 25, he says these words. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Let me pray for us. Jesus, as we've already mentioned, we need you. We need not only your life, death, and resurrection, we need you. We need your Holy Spirit residing in us. We need you to open our eyes and soften our hearts. We need you to transform us from sinner into saint. We need you, Holy Spirit, to change us more and more into the image of Jesus. And we recognize that we can't do it on our own. So even as this sermon is preached, will you please, in me and in all of these folks here today and all the folks listening online, that we would recognize our great need for you, and that this message would not be a message that just makes us feel guilty or makes us feel shame or whatever that may be, but that we would recognize the great love that you have for us in Christ, that we would recognize what a great Father you are to us, and to see what a great salvation you have for us, and because of that, we don't want to walk in the ways that would grieve you. And we ask this for your glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, our one true God, for our good as a church, and for the good of our neighbors. Amen. So it was not that long ago that I was chatting with my mom at her home, at her kitchen table. And at some point during the conversation, I told her, I don't know why I said this, it just kind of bubbled up, but I said, you know, Mom, I want you to know how much I appreciate you. I know how much you cared for me growing up, and I know I was not an easy child to take care of. You know, having children of my own has opened my eyes to see the sacrifices and the hard choices that parents have to make, and I just wanted to let you know how much I appreciate you and thank you for raising me even though it was hard. I know I gave you a lot of grief. I was a difficult child. And my sweet, loving mother looked at me and said, yeah, you were. I was hoping for something a little different than that, but she wasn't wrong. I was quite a handful, from jumping off our roof with a trash bag to see if it would act like a parachute. It didn't. to pouring gasoline on my toys and lighting them up with a match, only to catch our backyard, at least part of it, on fire. Thankfully, got it put out very quickly. To getting in trouble at school multiple times every single year from kindergarten to eighth grade, once for telling an inappropriate joke to the entire class while the teacher was in the room. Wasn't very smart back then either. To driving home after curfew was over one night. Going too fast on a curvy, wet road and hydroplaning into a ditch, and this was before cell phones, so I had to walk on a dark, lonesome road until I finally found a house where someone was actually awake who would let me use their phone to call home and say, hey, car's in the ditch, I can't get home. I caused my mom a lot of grief. And what I've told you, just the tip of the iceberg, unfortunately. I wish I hadn't. I wish I hadn't caused my mom so much grief. I wish I had understood better how my actions grieved her. I wish that I had been more circumspect about how my negative actions and attitudes caused my mom's heart to grieve. I wish I hadn't done so many things that I know hurt her. Well, today we're going to spend some time seeing how we can give more thought to not grieving someone, but it's not going to be my mom or your dad or your children or your siblings or your friends. We're going to be talking about grieving the Holy Spirit. And I know that doesn't sound like a fun topic, but it's in Scripture, so we need to deal with it. It's written there for our good, so we need to hear this. And the truth is, every single one of us, if we're in Christ, we have grieved the Holy Spirit at some point or another, and we are tempted to grieve the Holy Spirit in the future, or in the present, in the future. So we need to hear this, even if it sounds a little bit like a bummer. But I promise you, there's going to be some good news near the end. So just, if it feels like it's a little weighty, it is. But listen for the good news in it too. All right, so here's the big point for today. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. That sounds pretty easy. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. And we see that from verse 30 in this passage in Ephesians 4. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. So very clear, that's right where we need to be. We need to be kind of people who are striving not to grieve the Holy Spirit. So what does that look like? Well, before we get into that, let me back up just a moment and get on one of my soapboxes for just a minute. And I couldn't help but do this. But the fact that the Spirit can be grieved indicates He is personal, okay? The fact that the Spirit can be grieved indicates He is personal. Verse 30 says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. I have heard Christians all my life say things that make the Holy Spirit sound like He's not a person. Like He's not personal, like He's some force or some power. But you can't grieve a force. You can't grieve a power. You can't grieve something that is impersonal. You can only grieve people, a person. And the Holy Spirit is personal. A great quote that just slam dunks this is in the book The Holy Spirit, which I'm going to read, and it's going to be a little bit long, but hear it out. The Holy Spirit is clearly a divine person, the third person of the Trinity. We have biblical warrant for such an affirmation. According to Scripture, the Holy Spirit exhibits personal characteristics. 1, intelligence. He knows all things. 2, emotions, in ways that are true for a divine person and in some ways analogous to human persons. The Holy Spirit can be grieved and even insulted or outraged. And 3, will. as the sovereign Lord, the Holy Spirit's volition is expressed, for example, in the distribution of believers' spiritual gifts and in appointing specific missionary personnel and directing them on their mission. Moreover, according to the scripture, the Spirit engages in personal activities, testifying about Christ to believers, teaching, leading, and praying. So enough of the Holy Spirit is an it, okay? Enough of it. The Holy Spirit is personal. Let's treat the Holy Spirit as a person. Okay? All right, we can move on now. So we're talking about grieving the person of the Holy Spirit. So how do we grieve the Spirit? And I've got three things that I want you to take into consideration today, because let's face it, Paul doesn't specifically say in this passage, does he? He doesn't say, don't grieve the Spirit by doing this and this and this. He just says, don't grieve the Spirit. So we have to try to figure out what is it that he's saying. And there are different approaches to this. I'm going to give you all three, and you can go from there as the Spirit leads you. Number one, one way that we grieve the Spirit is because the Spirit is holy, that is, set apart from sin. There is a sense in which all sin is grievous to him. Okay? I mean, this is just kind of foundational. Our God is holy, holy, holy. That means he's set apart. He's set apart from creation, and he's set apart from sin. Set apart from doing wrong things, saying wrong things, thinking wrong things, having wrong attitudes. That's our God. He's perfect in all of his ways. We are not. So every time we sin, any sin in some way grieves the heart of God, grieves the Holy Spirit. So verse 30, when it says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, some Christians say that means you shouldn't sin. And yeah, you shouldn't. But here's the point. I'm not sure that that's really, while I think all that's true, I don't think that's Paul's point. Because that is crushing to a person with a sensitive conscience. Crushing. You mean every time I sin, I grieve the Spirit? Yeah, I think you do. And so I'm not supposed to sin? Well, I sin all the time. It's so hard for me to go a minute without sinning in thought, at least, and sometimes in word and sometimes in deed. And you're telling me that every minute I'm grieving the Holy Spirit of God. That's crushing. And while true, I don't think that's the point that Paul is trying to make when he says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. But I have to admit, it's probably somewhere in there. Okay? So we can grieve the Spirit by sinning in general. But I think number two is probably closer to the truth, that more specifically, when we grieve the Holy Spirit, it's because of willful, rebellious attitudes and behavior. Those are the things that grieve the Spirit the most. Willful, rebellious attitudes and behavior grieve the Spirit. Some people, when they're reading verse 30, they say, okay, well, see, it just says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, and they leave it at that. But did you know that Paul is actually addressing a passage of Scripture in the Old Testament in this passage? Did you know that? Isaiah chapter 63, verses 7 through 10. He is referring back to this passage. And let me read this passage. This is a passage where Isaiah says in verse 7, I will recount the steadfast love of the Lord, the praises of the Lord, according to all that the Lord has granted us, and the great goodness to the house of Israel that he has granted them, according to his compassion, according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he said, surely they are my people, children who will not deal falsely. And he became their Savior. In all their affliction, he was afflicted. and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. Verse 10. But they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. Therefore, he turned to be their enemy and himself fought against them. Those are strong words, right? But what Isaiah is saying is that the children of God in Israel, they rebelled against God, even though he did all of those wonderful things we read in verses 7 through 9. He poured out grace. He poured out mercy. He showed them love. He hurt when they hurt. He was there when they were going through difficult situations. And they rebelled, and it grieved the Holy Spirit. How did they rebel? Number one, they griped. They griped. Number two, they did not believe. That's why they griped, because they didn't believe. So when Paul says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit, it really does seem like he's referring to Isaiah, and he's saying, don't be like them. Don't have a hard, rebellious heart. Don't have this willful sinfulness. Look, we're all going to sin. I'm not excusing it. I'm saying, if you think, I'm going to try hard not to sin all this week, guess what's going to happen? You're going to fall flat on your face. It's just the truth. And I'm not saying, again, I'm not saying that to excuse anything. We should fight against sin. At the same time, we have to be realistic. And so, instead of beating ourselves up over, well, I sinned again, is God going to love me? No, think about this. God does love you. He does care for you. Your sin does grieve him. But what really grieves him is when you're willfully, rebelliously saying, no way, God, I'm doing it my way. Now, there's a third point, and I think this is still valid. I think this is a good, valid inference that many Christians make. So, sin in general grieves the heart of God, so grieves the Holy Spirit. Sin, willful, rebellious sin, grieves the Holy Spirit. But also, number three, even more specifically, relational sins that affect the church community grieve the Spirit. And this is where I want to hang out for a little bit. Relational sins that affect the church community. Because think about the things we've talked about so far in this series. We've said that the Holy Spirit resides in each of us and in us corporately. So we are the body of Christ. And so when we have a relational sin, something that we are harming one another by, whether in word or action or even thought, that harms the body of Christ, right? That's an attack not just on a person in the pew, but that's an attack on Jesus himself. And so relational sins that affect the church grieve the Spirit. Because verse 30, when it says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit, is in a context. It's in a context. So let's take a look at that context. Starting in verse 23. I think all of these are ways that relationally we grieve the Holy Spirit because we hurt one another and therefore hurt the body of Christ. Verse 23. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Okay? So when we do not speak the truth to one another, when we lie to one another, when we fail to address falsehood in our lives, We grieve the Holy Spirit. What if your body started lying to the rest of your body? What kind of a mess would that make? You know, your toes are saying, oh, we don't want to go forward, we want to go backwards, so we're going to try to walk backwards. And the rest of your body said, no, we're going forwards, and your toes are trying to go backwards. You know, that would make a mess, right? So we, as the body, we need to say to each other what is true, not what is false. Moving on to verses 26 and 27. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. All right, let me pause here. There's a lot of confusion about anger. All right. Sometimes Christians come across as saying anger is sin. That can't be true because God is described as being angry in the scriptures. Jesus himself is described as being angry at times in the scriptures. So anger itself is not wrong. What is wrong oftentimes is how we deal with our anger and the why beneath the anger. Let me say that again. Anger itself is not necessarily the problem. The real problem is how we deal with our anger and what's underneath the anger. We need to look at those things, not the anger itself. The anger itself is like you're driving down the road and your oil light comes on and you go, oh, something is wrong. That's what anger is. Something's amiss. Maybe it's injustice in the world or injustice in your relationships. Maybe it's because someone hurt you. Maybe it's something that has stirred up some problems in your own life, but that warning light says, okay, it's time to lift up the hood and look underneath and find out what's going on, all right? So anger isn't the problem. Just like this verse says, be angry and do not sin, okay? It's okay to be angry, just make sure that there's no anger in that sin. And don't let the sun go down on your anger. In other words, keep short accounts. Church, we grieve the Spirit when we get angry and we sin. We need to hear that. We are living in a society right now that loves being angry and telling each other off, putting people in their place. That is not the way of Jesus. Although there are times when Jesus did put people in their place, but you know who it was usually? It usually wasn't the bad people out there. It was usually the religious people who were bad in here. Okay? So we need to be careful about how we deal with our anger. Make sure, I know long ago they used to tell you count to 10 before you say something. Some of us need to count to 100. Some of us need to wait until the next day. Be angry, but do not sin. And keep short accounts. If you're angry with somebody right now, keep a short account. It grieves the Holy Spirit that we are not dealing with those issues within the church. Verse 28. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. We grieve the Holy Spirit when we rob other people in the church of anything. It doesn't have to be financial. It can be your time. It can be your resources. It can be anything. We just need to make sure that if we are robbing people of anything, our repentance needs to look like this. Don't steal anymore. Work instead so that you can give. This is part of what's so beautiful about the gospel, right? The good news of Jesus is that God takes sinners and changes them into saints, people who are thieves and turns them into people who give, people who lie and turns them into people who tell the truth. Right? So if you're not living that out, you need to back up and say, all right, I'm not telling the truth, or I'm stealing, or whatever it may be, I need to go back to Jesus. I need His forgiveness. I need His transforming power in my heart. And I need to move forward in a way that doesn't grieve the Holy Spirit, but pleases the Holy Spirit, goes right in line with what the Holy Spirit is doing, because the Holy Spirit's trying to make us, not trying, making us more like Jesus. And if we're fighting against that by lying or sinning while we're angry or robbing each other, we're kicking against the goads. We're like fighting a brick wall. It's like fighting a hurricane. But yet we're still convinced that I'm going to do this. Look, go with the flow of the Spirit. All right? And that means let the thief no longer steal, but let him work so that he has something to share with anyone in need. Verse 29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. All right. So often I hear Christians using this verse to talk about profanity. And I do think that profanity could fall under this verse, but that's not specifically what this verse is meaning. It's not simply saying, don't say bad words. It's saying, don't say things that are going to tear people down. There are some of us in this room who probably haven't ever said a profanity, but we have torn people down with our words. And that is sin. And it grieves the Holy Spirit when we tear one another down rather than building one another up. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only what is good for building each other up, that it may give grace to those who hear. And it has to fit the occasion. There's a lot of wisdom that comes from that, right? The point that Paul is making in this verse is don't grieve the Spirit by tearing people down with your words. Build up. Now, sometimes you have to say hard things in order to build up. But make sure the purpose of what you're saying is to build up, not to tear down. Of course, verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit. You see, this is in the context by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And then in verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. I've told my life group this a few times, but it is fascinating to me how many times I sit in my counseling office, like I have a counseling office. It's my office when I'm counseling, and someone seems to be very upset, angry, bitter, and I say, it looks to me like you might be angry. And they go, I'm not angry. It's fascinating. Or I say, please listen to what I'm saying. It seems like you're angry. Do not let that grow into bitterness. I'm not angry and I'm not bitter. Stop talking to me that way. We can all be blind to how bitterness has taken a root in our heart. As a life group, we read through recently Tim Keller's book, Forgive. Look, if you're dealing with anger issues or bitterness issues, I would encourage you to read that book. It deals very well with the issue of forgiveness and what it looks like and what it doesn't look like. Can't get into all of it today, but it is a great book for that, which we'll talk about in just a minute. So put away bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor. Clamor is making a loud noise, usually because you're upset about something. I'll let that one sit. Slander, saying things about other people that isn't true. Or saying things that are true in a way that will tear that person down in the eyes of others. And then put away all malice. Malice is anything that is evil intent. If your intention, even if you're doing a good thing, is to hurt someone, you got to put that away because it grieves the Holy Spirit. And then finally, verse 32, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. It grieves the Holy Spirit when we're not kind to one another, when we're not tender-hearted towards one another, when we don't forgive one another, because God in Christ forgave you. Sometimes we lose sight of this, church. Since you were born, since I was born, from that day forward, sin was in our lives. And it came out in different ways. Sometimes more, sometimes less, but it was always there. How old are you? Take that, multiply it by 365 or 366 if you're in a leap year, and you'll find that's a lot of sin. A lot of days of sin. And we're not even talking about how many times we've sinned. And God in Christ forgave you of all of that. How dare we look at another person and say, I could never forgive you. I know there are some situations that are awful. There are some situations that's going to take time for a human being to forgive another person. There are some situations in which forgiveness puts us in a difficult position because the person may try to continue to abuse us or hurt us. I know all those things, but the attitude of the heart always ought to be, I am ready to forgive. Even if I'm not there yet, I want to forgive you because that is what God in Christ has done for me. Do you hear that, church? We grieve the Holy Spirit when we forget the gospel. That's what all of this really comes down to. We grieve the Holy Spirit when we forget the gospel, the good news of Jesus, what he's done for us. But listen to this. What is it that keeps us from grieving the Holy Spirit? I think it's the gospel. Because even in this passage where he says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit, he adds something to it. Did you notice that? All right, let me get the point first, and then we'll look at the verse. Because we are sealed by the Spirit for the day of redemption, won for us by Christ, we desire to refrain from grieving him. We're sealed by the Spirit for the day of redemption, won for us by Christ, and we desire to refrain from grieving him. That's why we don't want to grieve him, not because of a sense of guilt or shame, but because we realize grief in the Holy Spirit really is a sign of his love for us. Just like my mom was grieved by my actions, it was because she loved me. If she didn't love me and she didn't care about me, my actions wouldn't grieve her. Right? Verse 30, let's take a look at it. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And he's just repeating language that he had in Ephesians 1, verse 13 and 14, where he says, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. So yesterday, My wife and I, we went on a little date, and we went to see the movie Cabrini. I don't know if any of you have seen it or heard of it. If you don't, no problem. It's about a female Catholic missionary, Frances Cabrini, who established a home for orphan children in New York, and then eventually established several hospitals that cared for immigrants primarily, but also people of all kinds. And she received lots of opposition. Why? Because she was Italian and because she was a woman. At one point in the movie, she asked the Pope for help. And at first, he's very resistant, but then he finally gives in because she's persistent. And he writes a letter, and he puts it in an envelope, and he puts a seal on it. And then he sends that off. That seal demonstrated that that letter really belonged to the Pope. That seal protected the letter from anybody who might go, oh, this is trash. They look at it and go, oh, this is from the Pope. We've got to take this seriously. That seal validated what the letter said, that the Pope really was on Cabrini's side. Hear the good news, Christian. The Holy Spirit seals you. That means the Holy Spirit seals us as those who belong to Jesus. And nothing can take that away from you. The Spirit seals us as those who are protected by Jesus Himself. No one can throw us in the trash. We're always protected. Even when bad, horrible things come our way, it has to go through the filter of the grace of Jesus. And when it comes to us, it makes us more like Him. The Spirit seals us to show us that God is not against us. He is for us. Do you hear that? Even in the midst of us grieving the Holy Spirit, God has sealed us with the Holy Spirit and says, you are mine and I am yours, and nothing in all creation can change that. So, because that's yours, don't grieve me and my love. Don't grieve my heart that I've given to you. So you might say, well, okay, I get it. Don't grieve the Spirit. Got it. The reason I don't want to grieve the Spirit is because God has given me so much in the gospel. Got it. But how do I keep from grieving the Holy Spirit? Four quick things. Here are your action points. And I promise you, these are quick. One, watch your attitude. How many times do I hear people say things like, if you're sinning, you need to have this structure in place and this structure in place and this structure in place, and those have some benefit, but they don't address the real problem. The problem is the heart. The problem is the attitude. The problem is what's going on inside you. Okay? So watch that. If you see your attitude is going astray, that's where you need to start. If you see that your heart is starting to harden, that's where you need to start. Number two, seek relational shalom, especially in the church community. The word shalom means peace, but it also means wellness and goodness. So we promise, we make a vow as a church when we become members of the church, we promise to study the purity and the peace of the church. Don't just pursue the purity, also pursue the peace. Look out for one another. If you have issues with one another, let's deal with those. Let's keep short accounts. Let's love one another, be kind to one another, and forgive one another, because that pleases the Holy Spirit, not grieves Him. Three, be quick to repent of sin. Be quick to repent of sin. Okay, this is, I got to say this. In all of my pastoral counseling with people, usually by the time they get to me to tell me their problem, often it's gone on so long, they have sinned so long and so hard, and so it's such a mess that I'm like, only God can take care of this, okay? I don't have a whole lot of wisdom to help you. And I've told numerous people, and I'm not trying to pour it on, I'm just saying the truth. If you had come to me 3 years ago, 10 years ago, when this first started, if you had come to anybody in the church and said, hey, I'm having a problem, here's my issue, I need help, I need repentance, I need you to help me repent, this would not be where it is today. So be quick to repent of sin. When you see sin in your life, go, that's ugly, I got to run from it. I got to take care of it now. Don't wait. And then number four, in all things, rely on the Spirit. Because let's face it, you don't want to grieve the Spirit, best way to do that is rely on Him. Holy Spirit, I don't want to grieve you. I want to do what's right. I want to live in a way that pleases you. I know I can't do that on my own. Help me. Help me to repent quickly of my sin. Help me to deal with my own attitudes. Help me to seek relational shalom with other people, to get peace between my brothers and sisters. And we do this because we know the Holy Spirit loves us enough to be in us forever, guaranteeing that on the day of redemption, we're His. Do you hear that? That's how much our God loves us. So why would we want to grieve Him when He's given us so much? So church, let's keep in step with the Spirit as we willingly submit to His work within us. And I'm going to pray that we'll be able to do that. Holy Spirit, we ask that You would help us to keep in step with You. And we wouldn't grieve You. And we know we need Jesus. We know we need You. We know we need You to work Your power in us. And so, teach us what it means to willingly submit. Teach us what it means to love one another well. Teach us what it means to hate our sin and repent of it quickly. Teach us all that we need to know and do so that we will live in that way for Your glory, for our good, and for the good of our neighbors. Amen.